say amen. The Bible tells us in verse 23, and really, verse 22, let's read that one too. It's all good. By the way, we could read the whole chapter. We could just read the Bible all day and be good. Amen. Y'all right? Good. Hang in there. You might not be in a minute. Amen. All right. I wish I had some funny jokes to tell, but this is a serious message, and I want you to hear it this morning. The Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. And it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. What's powerful stuff here. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. Verse 27, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that is it, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now I want to preach this morning. I want you to notice something in this very familiar text of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I want you to notice this. Have y'all heard that verse before? It's appointed unto men once to die. But then it says this in this part. I want you to get this in case you get ready to go to sleep. I'd like for you to cut your phones off. I'd like for you to pay attention. I'd like for you to quit passing notes and quit whispering. Get the things out of your mind that the devil's fighting you with today. Get the bitterness and anger and hatred and whatever it may be. That the devil will bind your heart, because it may be that this message will be the difference between eternal damnation and eternal heaven. I want you to listen today to what God's put on God's man in God's house today. Because I want to preach this morning on this statement that's made, but after this. But after this. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. I ask you to speak to every heart. I pray you'd save that soul that's nearest hell. Lord, I pray we'd take very serious and solemn the hour that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you'd just speak to every heart. I pray you'd help somebody today that needs help. I pray you'd encourage the Christian. I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless and that you'd work and that you'd move. And God, that you'd, as only you can. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we ask you to bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. This story is told of a famous evangelist. In fact, he was a Methodist, but one of those old-time Methodists. His name was Sam Jones. Sam Jones was a preacher from Georgia that preached all over America back in the late 1800s. A tremendous preacher. In fact, he preached a lot to the men that came back after the Civil War, and he would go and preach to, they said, one of the hardest crowds that's ever been preached to. Sam Jones was a preacher. In fact, one of his main sermon, one of his main things that he said all the time is quit your meanness. And he preached on alcohol and he preached on wickedness and sin. It was back before we got into this self-help and you come to church for what God could give you, but you wanted to get right with God because you knew you were going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. And Sam Jones was that type of a preacher. There was a sheriff there in his community who was an agnostic. Now, an agnostic and an atheist are two different things. It's up in the air which one's more arrogant, an atheist or an agnostic. An atheist doesn't believe in God, and an agnostic just says, well, I just don't know. Because he doesn't know, there must not be one. And this man was an avowed agnostic. He was the sheriff there. I don't know if it's the town or the county or how they did it. And he was going to die. In fact, he was on his deathbed. And Sam Jones's wife told him, said, honey, I wish you'd go and visit our dear sheriff. And he said, as many preachers have this conversation with their wives, well, honey, I know that what you're saying, but he's an agnostic. He's told me all his life he's an agnostic. But under the urging of his wife, he went to that place. She was from Kentucky. And he went to that sheriff's home. I heard about this week, and God just grabbed my heart about this. Because I've been there. I know what it's like to be a preacher and be pulled out of the school or given a call. Says, hey, go visit them quick. They're on their deathbed. I led a man to the Lord. I've led several that are literally on their deathbed. Literally never went home from the hospital and called upon Christ. I thank God for a Savior that will save you even on your deathbed. That man sat there and he went to him, and Sam Jones, I'm talking about one of the greatest preachers. They said that he may have led as many 3 million people to Jesus Christ. It's unbelievable. And in his big evangelistic campaigns. But he went to this bedside of this man. And he'd come to him and talk to him. Sam, you know, I've never been afraid to die. He said, you know, I believe. He said, I'm not afraid to die. He said, well, I figured that was what you was going to say when I came. He said, but, and he quoted this verse. He says, appointed a man to die. He says, but after this, the judgment. He said, you may be ready to die, but are you ready for the judgment? And he said, when he said that man almost come out of his bed. He said, oh God, I hadn't thought about that. Oh God, I hadn't thought about that. Boy, I heard that story and it arrested my heart. It got a hold of me when I heard that. And I thought to myself, as a pastor and a preacher now for several years, how many people I've heard say that they're ready to die. They will talk about the door of death. They'll talk about getting the cancer prognosis or the hospital or the doctor or whatever it may be. And they will talk about being afraid of that door. They'll talk about the day of their death. And they'll make the arrangements for when they die. They'll speak of death and they'll speak of that day. But they very rarely, in my experience, do they ever talk about standing before God at judgment day. The Bible tells us, if you'd like to take your Bible and turn to the book of Revelation. You say, Brother Dallas, does that have anything to do with us? Well, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, starting at verse 11. In fact, verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Let me remind you, some of you that won't come to Sunday school and won't come to Sunday night and act like Wednesday nights you're allergic to, when you don't worship the God who created this church, and Bible says he purchased it with his own blood. I remind you this morning as your preacher that the earth and the heaven fled away from the very one that you don't think you're good enough and good and can get your schedule enough to talk to God in heaven. You think about that this morning. It ought to convict every soul. He got a hold of my heart, God, how I failed you. And God, we read these verses and the Bible tells us that the earth and heavens will fly away. Well, I tell you, ought to convict your heart. And the Bible says this, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books of life, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And the next verse, probably the saddest verse in all of Scripture, the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I think sometimes we come to church and we play games. Now, I'm for church, and don't you? I spend my life trying to get people to come to church. Let me say this to you this morning, church. This is not a game. This is not some just civic organization. If it is, we're not doing near as good a job as many of them are. Church ought to be a place where you come and you worship God. You get your eyes back on God and you get your mind back in the Bible and you serve and worship the one that created you. Too many times we're playing games with God. I've got to hold my heart about this thing because we're going to have to stand someday. And I'm not going to give an account to you whether you like me or not. Sometimes, I'll confess to you, I worry too much whether somebody's going to like me or somebody's going to say, oh, that's good, or boy, he offended me. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We're living in a country that everybody's afraid of offending somebody. We're marching in the streets when we ought to be bowing on our knees and saying, God, we're afraid we've offended you. And we've got where we're offending anybody. Hey, oh man, I'm offended. How about do we offend our thrice holy God? Here's a man laying on his deathbed. I can see that old preacher coming in there. And that man had never even thought. He thought about dying. But he hadn't thought about the judgment. But after this, the judgment. He didn't even think about it. I'm going to give you some things this morning, church, by an outline. Let me say this. He didn't even think about it. When we think about it, we should at least think about judgment. You know, I've been to the second floor at Princeton Hospital so many times. Many of you know the second floor of Princeton Hospital, on one end is where the babies are born. It's an exciting end. It's a fun end. It's a happy end most of the time. And man, people coming in and out of there, that's like the central, Grand Central Station. You gotta buzz in, buzz out. Boy, you'll see mommies and daddies and mamas and papas and uncles and family. Boy, it's exciting. But on the other end is where the ICU and the CCU is. And I've literally, as your pastor, I've visited one end and walked right down the hall and visited the other end. And I've seen birth and death, and many times as your pastor, sometimes within the same day or week. Many of you know these. Some of y'all work there. You know all about it. And how many times, I remember how many times I've been to the CCU or the ICU, and you know obviously something serious there. Many times it is. Maybe not life-threatening, but many times it is. And I've talked to somebody, I've said, hey, and here they are in ICU. You wouldn't think I'd even have to say a word. And I'll visit him and say, man, I want to talk to you about the Lord. Have you even thought about it? And they'll say, no. I'm looking around at all the tubes going in and the nurses rushing in and the little signs up on the wall, knowing what they've been diagnosed with. And I thought, Lord, if they're not going to think about it now, when are they ever going to think about it? He said, we don't like to think about it. We don't like to think about judgment. Some of us come to church because we want something said to make us feel better. We treat God almost like he's a pill. We'll take another pill, we'll feel better. We'll go through this. In fact, most of your big churches today that are running big crowds are full of have preachers in them that want to have people that tickle their ears and make everybody happy. And I've got some of that in me. I don't want you to go, boy, I tell you what, Brother Alice was mean today. I don't want that. When I read my Bible, though, I'm reminded of some things that you and I need to think about. Let me say this. When we don't think about it, it is thinking about the judgment is too often neglected. You know how many times folks think about standing before God? When we cuss somebody out, I saw a young lady, she's bragging about how her mom was trying to outbeep the horn to somebody going down the road because she had road rage. And it's bragging about how cool that was. And I thought to myself, and I've done some of those things in my life, I thought, man, I'm going to stand and give it a cow for that. Sometimes somebody will cuss or watch something or do something or go somewhere or get involved in something. And today we even have a Christian so-called. By the way, I'll say so-called because I wonder if somebody knows the Lord I know how they could continue in the wickedness and sin. We got Christian drinking now. Like that's the cool thing and that's the end thing. And people used to preach so hard against that. Not anymore. And I sat there and I thought, man, we're not thinking about standing before God. We're not thinking about standing before the Lord. I don't know if y'all were raised like this, but we used to hear something like this. We're going to tell Pop, y'all go ahead and do what you want to right now, but I'm going to tell you Papa, when he gets home, he'll take care of you. I'm going to tell you Mama, when she gets home, she'll take care of you. Hey, I've seen in the school before. I've been over to Christian school. Some kid acting up. I said, I'll tell you what, I've got your dad's number on my phone. Let me call him. Boy, their eyes will get big. Oh, brother, whatever you do, don't do that. And we get scared about that. By the way, that's a good thing. We're living in a country. Y'all saw these people with the britches hanging off and fussing and cussing and flipping the TV, the bird, and throwing stuff at reporters and everything else right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I've been to Charlotte many times. In fact, some of the people there are some of the kindest people you've ever been around. But right there on national television, I thought, you know what that place needs is an old-fashioned paddle. Some of them guys walking down them streets, I could tell them he ain't ever had his hiding bust because he wouldn't be acting like that. My mama would get a hold of me and say amen right there. Some of y'all say, my son ain't doing it. My mama be on him on national TV. You get back to the house. By the way, shouldn't we treat God that way? It is too often neglected. I heard Dr. B.R. Lakin preaching on this week. He talked about Noah. Remember the days of Noah? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. You ever think about Noah? Noah was a worldwide judgment, wasn't it? The Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, that he preached for 120 years. I could just see him going out on the plank of that ark, and he was preaching. And he was saying, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And you know there was people in the crowd that said, well, we got t-ball this afternoon. I wish he'd hurry up. You know there was people making fun and looking and whispering and saying, I think I'm just going to go down and join that other club. You know they were making fun. In fact, he said this in the sermon. I never thought about this before. He said, you know, it probably could have been that some of them were building their own little boats. I never thought about that. Some enterprising individuals say, just in case old Brother Noah, what he's saying is right, we'll build our own boats. And Dr. Lakin goes into a whole thing in his sermon, and he talks about it. He says, you know, it's a funny thing. He said, everybody's boat will float when the sun's shining. He said, when that rain came, them boats didn't do much. Because it wasn't what God provided. God told Noah to build the ark. That judgment came, and hey, they neglected that. I'm sure they dismissed that. How many times somebody will come by the church and, hey, there's some folks that ought to be here this morning, and shame on them when they're not. They ought to be in God's house, and shame on them when they're not. Hey, there's people that drive right down to this place for year after year after year, and that steeple goes up, and those signs go up, and the tracts are passed out, and the Bibles are given out, and they'll still thumb their nose at an almighty God and act like they can just do whatever they want to. They can't even get off their phone during church time. God help us. It's too often neglected. I can just see Noah. Somebody said, well, wait, I got to check my text. I got to check my blog. I got to check my Facebook. God help us. It's killing churches. Get off of it. Amen. Listen, church, this morning, what I'm saying to you is we don't think about the judgment. Then all of a sudden, by the way, I know that I'm not going to get into the judgment seat of Christ. I know that's where Christians are rewarded, at the bema seat. I understand that. But you know, the Bible says right there at the bema seat, it talks about the terror of God. I think sometimes Christians just think, well, I'm saved, so now I can cuss somebody out, live like a devil, dress and act and look like the world, act like I ain't got a bit of sense, live as a practical atheist, and then God's going to be okay with me. The Bible says, you better watch out for the terror of God. You know, we don't have in America, we don't have in our churches, and I'm afraid not even in our church, and even in my own life, is an old-fashioned fear, a terror of Almighty God. You wouldn't sit and complain about every little thing if you had the fear God put in you. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Dallas. Y'all know it's good. I need it and you need it. Too often neglected. It's too easily dismissed. Boy, it's easy. I can just see him out there with Noah, and it wasn't raining. I can just think of young people that have came. So many times I've dealt with teenagers and young people. I said, look, don't get into that. I'm telling you, don't do that. I see them out. I've caught some. Maybe some several years ago. I guess I'd become the pastor by then. There was a young lady that grew up right here in this church. And I was out on visitation, and I caught them in a very compromising situation. I'm talking about fingers down in Jack Daniel's bottles, and here I come down the steps, and here they come walking up and had bottles and, I mean, all kinds of liquor. I'm not talking about sipping on a beer, watching a ball game. I'm talking about full-blown, hardcore liquor party. Well, they saw me, and it looked like they had seen a ghost. By the way, amen. Hallelujah. They looked at me like, oh, Lord, what is going to happen? I never said a word. Because it didn't matter what I thought. It didn't matter what Dad thought. It didn't matter what was going on. By this time, it's too late. By this time, it's too late. I think sometimes we dismiss it. We'll hear a sermon like this, we'll dismiss it. We'll hear preaching, we'll hear teaching, we'll hear singing. Hey, I was sitting there listening to our Sunday school class. Our Sunday school classes ought to be packed. Ought to be packed. We sat there and said, what can we do against Islam? I'll tell you what we can do against Islam. Go to church. Read your Bible. Raise your children in the nurture and admonition of God. Serve God. I mean, live for Him. I mean, live a separate life. Show the world that Christians are different. Show them that we don't serve that same God. We serve a God that loves you. And we serve a God that loves everybody. You want to do something for America, serve God, live for God. What's easily dismissed. Let me say number three, thinking about judgment is too easily distracted. Well, you ever notice people don't like to think about death? And they especially don't think about judgment. You remember in Sodom, another place where there was judgment come down. How do y'all remember Sodom and Gomorrah? You remember Sodom and Gomorrah, what it's known for? Illicit sexual activity. Are we not living in a world full of illicit sexual activity? We can't even talk about it. One of the biggest things going on in America, and by the way, it's in churches, Hey, it's in the ministry. It's everywhere you turn. Is illicit sexual activity. We've got deacons and pastors that shouldn't even be appointed. We've got things going on that are an absolute wicked mess. We have no purity in the church anymore. We live absolutely heinous lives. And people that are lost and undone without God or His Son look at the church and they say, y'all are no better than we are. And they've got a point. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, friend. There is something wrong because we are living almost like Lot in Sodom. The Bible says in 2 Peter that it vexed his righteous soul day by day. I wonder, does it vex your soul? It vexes my soul to live in this wicked world. We think about Lot. Now they got distracted. You said, did they get distracted? You tell me. When Lot's wife came out, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Y'all remember what happened to her? She came out and she loved Sodom so much, she looked back. Some of us in here this morning, we love the self-help books and how good I'm going to be and what about me. We have secular humanism in our lives. We don't want to hear old-time preaching. I hear some of these old-time preachers, man, they'd vote them out. They'd never hold a pulpit today. Some of y'all might get mad not come back today. I'm not trying to run you off. I want you to come. But the truth of the matter is that we get distracted. And just like Lot in Sodom, we get distracted. We look to the left, we look to the right. We think about money, we think about pleasure, we think about hobbies, we think about this, we think about that. He said, right, that's what he's talking about. I do the same thing. I'm like, God, help us. We get so distracted. We want our young people to, what do you want your children to grow up to be? Ask yourself that question. What is your goal in life? If it don't center around the Lord and the things of God, something is wrong. In other words, what are you even doing? Why are we even here? Is this just a social club? Is this just something to go through? I don't know about you all, but I want God in my life. I want God to do something. Hey, I don't got a little casualty. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want somebody to say, well, brother, I used to preach it. Well, they used to serve God. I want him to say, hey, my poppy thundered down the word of God and served God all these days. That'll be what you want for your children. And by the way, I want that for him. Well, you ought to want that for your children and your grandchildren and your neighbors. And by the way, for yourself. I think sometimes parents and grandparents, we want it for everybody else. What about you, Mama and Papa? What about you, Mom and Dad? What about all of us? What about you, preacher? It's too easy to dismiss. It's too quickly distracted. Let me say this. It's too late for multitudes. Well, Satan's good at keeping people distracted. Some of y'all distracted won't pay attention right now. And I've asked you about 3 times to pay attention. It's an amazing thing to me how Satan can distract. And you're looking at a guy that I think has EDD. Easily distracted disorder. Birds fly by in that parking lot out there and I'm on its wings flying with it somewhere. I get so distracted so easily. It's a joke in my family. My wife will grab my cheeks and say, look at me, pay attention. And most of us are this way this morning. In fact, if I go just a little bit longer, it's about 10 or 12, after about 12, even some of the best in here, well, all right, preacher, that's long enough. It's human nature. We can't hardly help ourselves. Even we know better. You ever just tried to pay attention? I got a favorite show I've been watching. I got sleepy the other day. I was fighting. I was trying to stay awake. I couldn't. I could not stay awake. Could not do it. Could not do it. You say, well, that's what you mean. It's going to be too late for multitudes someday. The Bible said, Jesus said this, there'll be many in that day. They'll say, Father, have we not cast out devils in thy name? He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Don't you get mad at me. I didn't say it. But I'm afraid this morning, we got a lot of folks we think are possessors. They've never come to know, they're professors, but are they possessors? Have they ever come to know Jesus as their Savior? Because if you know Jesus as your Savior, there's some things that change in your life. I mean, you start to change. God does something on the inside, and it shows up on the outside. I'm talking about we got to get back to repenting of our sin. Not just feel sorry for getting caught. Amen? I'm like, because there is a difference. How many of y'all know that? Sometimes I was sorry for getting caught. If I got a piece of chocolate pie, I wasn't supposed to. But I wasn't really sad about it because if they put another one out, honey, I'd be tempted. I'd get me another. I came back. And many times we even that are saved, live our lives and we forget sometimes, hey, we got to be broken about this thing. There's going to be multitudes that are going to die and they've never thought about after death. In fact, the world goes into great detail. In fact, that's why is it that most of your learning institutions are full of infidels? Why is that? Because some of your Dr. Wigglejaws and Mr. Big Mouth up at the university, he wants you to believe that when you die, you just go to the ground and the worms have you. You don't need to be ready and be right with God. Just go ahead and have fun. Because you don't have to stand before God, your maker. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says, appoint unto man, and then it says, but after this. But after this, you know, we talk about history, and I appreciate history. What about after that? What happens to him then? Man can have all the money in the world, but what if he dies and loses his own soul? What if, in fact, Jesus said this, what does a profit man to gain the whole world and what? Lose his own soul. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? We teach our young people, I say about cash, and I said, now cash, you get your elbow in when you shoot now. I wouldn't be a good ball player. I wouldn't be a good fisherman. I saw his other papa once take him hunting, all that. That's great. But what good is it going to do if he dies and goes to hell? I wouldn't be educated. But can I say that even Christians sometimes have put education to a point, they're like, man, so what if they know how to get a job somewhere? They don't know the one that gives them breath to breathe. Even Christians are creeping into churches where we're more interested. Well, I can't come to church on Sunday night. Why? Because my kids got to do that. Let me tell you something. Best thing in the world is to get them to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, you tell me if we go to Christian school, we'll knock off some homework. We'll do something so that they can get in God's house. I believe it's more important than the NFL. I believe it's more important than NCAA. Even the beloved Mountaineers. Oh, man. I don't know if y'all got all of them. Or the Hokies, or the Thundering Herds, or whatever it is you like. It's even better than the Cowboys. Amen. I can't even get a Cowboy fan raised up in my family. Amen. You say, Brother, what do you mean? Think about this. There's going to be multitudes that are going to die, and they're going to go to hell because they've been distracted. Let me give you some hot thoughts and we'll go home. But after this, I can see that man. Sam Jones comes and says, but after this, see, if you read this passage here in the book of Hebrews, and by the way, read around it when you get home today. I promise you, you read about Jesus and his sacrifice. If you read the account there, the Bible tells us that Jesus didn't have to go in every year. Hey, the Bible tells us that the blood of bulls and goats were just a picture of who he was. And my, he wasn't even close to how perfect he is. All that, and by the way, it didn't say in a building made with hands. It said, but in the heavens he went. You read it. Let me say something to you. We got to realize, hey, but after this, and y'all know this. Well, Dr. Lakin talks about God sending the gray hair angel, and the eye angel, and the knees angel. Starts tapping you on the shoulder. You remember in the book of Genesis, even the ones that lived several hundred years, the Bible says, and he died. And he died. Even old Methuselah eventually got gray-headed, weak-eyed, weak-back, whatever it is. Even Methuselah lived 969 years. The Bible says that he died. There's only two people in the Word of God that didn't die, and that was Enoch, who went to spend the day with God and is still spending the day, and Elijah, who was taken up by a chariot of fire. Let me say something to you, churches. Well, we got to be ready for death, but we better be ready after this. Let me give you some things real quickly. Don't fear death, but dismiss judgment. I think a lot of us fear death. I think that's what they say, that death and public speaking are the two top fears people have. That's pretty bad, but that's what I've always heard. Most everybody fears death because they don't know, is it going to be an accident? Is it going to be a snake? I remember as a kid, I always thought it was going to be a snake bite. I thought, oh Lord, I'm going to get bit by a snake. I watched too many of them movies, you know. Had cobras coming at me and stuff. Now I see all these clowns in the woods, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, not a clown, please. And we fear those things, don't we? We fear the unknown. We don't know what's going to take place. The old preacher said, I'm not going to lay down in the bed. He said, everybody I know dies in bed, you know. What's going to happen? Hey, don't fear death, but dismiss judgment. He feared death. But see, here's the thing about it. This is different than a lot of... We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about, as Kansas sang back in the 70s, we're dust in the wind. We're not talking about a Disney movie where Mufasa's up in the... You know, and we're just around the river bend like Pocahontas, and we're all part of the same thing. That's pantheism. When we think about reincarnation, we'll come back as a banana. Let me tell you something, friend. That's some of the craziest mess I've ever seen in my life. People, you better believe they believe that. Many of your movies say that. Some of the most popular movies in the world teach those things. And we somehow, sometimes that gets in us, and we think about death, and well, I'm just going to come back as something else. God help us. That's not what the Bible teaches. And the Bible's either the Word of God or it's not. I believe it is. Many people say it is. I say, wait a minute, are you sure about that? Because it knocks that stuff plumb in the head. It will not stand up. It's not both and, it's either or. I've shared it with you before, church. It's not in the way, in the East, religion teaches it's both good and evil. The yin yang. It's a little bit of good and evil, a little bit of evil and good. That's not true. The Bible says it's either good or evil. It's either heaven or hell. It's either righteousness or judgment. Don't fear death or dismiss judgment. Secondly, don't get so busy that you forget about standing before God. Have y'all, anybody in here ever gotten busy? Well, don't we live busy lives? Some of y'all right now think about 10 things you got to do when you get to the house. Busy. We're busy bees. I learned several years ago, I was a flagman on a state road. And I remember, I wasn't even a preacher then. And I'd see the same cars standing in one spot on the road. They go by that one spot. Honestly, some cars were about 25 times. More. I mean, just all that. I'm like, man, you think they figured that out? Or you see a load of logs. One load of logs coming this way. Another load of logs coming that way. You thought they'd give a phone call and say, won't y'all keep y'all's, we'll keep out. Think about that. That'll mess with your head a little bit. We get so busy, don't we? I look back on the calendar in my office. I look back and say, man, I did all that. I wonder I'm tired. How many of y'all busy this morning? Let's don't get so busy that we forget about standing before God, because we kind of do, don't we? By the way, can I say this? We kind of want to be busy. I see people putting stuff on Facebook about God, about end times. Can't come to church. I'm like, see? I see people talking about the Lord. I'm like, man, you don't even go to church to talk about God. All of a sudden, it starts getting real serious, doesn't it? By the way, it ain't me. I could die right now. It's still true. In fact, I started looking at my life and said, Lord, I don't want to just be a Facebook theologian. I don't want to be just a public one. I don't want to be just somebody thinking about something. I want to be real. We got to understand, if we're not careful, we get so busy, we forget about standing before the Lord. When you cuss somebody out, you're going to give an account for it, even Christians. When you bless somebody out, when you're mean and hateful and rude and cruel, when you don't tithe and give, we'll give an account for it. Sometimes we miss Sunday school. We think, well, I'll show the preacher. I'll show the preacher. We drop out of the choir. So, well, I'll do what I want to do. Just remember, you're going to give them an account for that. You bless your wife out. You treat your children bad. Just remember, you're going to give an account for that. God's got a hold of my heart about some of these things. I said, Lord God, by the way, aren't you glad God forgives? Well, if he didn't forgive us, wouldn't we be hurting? Wouldn't it be a mess? Let me say number three, don't forget the only way out is through and by the blood of Christ. Some of y'all sitting here this morning say, man, brother, that's a pretty bleak picture. It is. But I want you to go back, look at your text in verse 24 and 25 of Hebrews chapter 9. It says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. What's that next two words? For us. And then it goes on here, and it says, now, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world. We sing in the choir, once for all. See, I want you to understand this. Hey, don't forget, the only way, you say, well, I'll just do better. I'll read a self-help book. I'll join a club. I'll join a group. I'll do better in my life. I'll put myself up by the bootstraps. By the way, I'm not talking about you going around sullen and being mean. Hey, the Bible talks about the hypocrite having that sad countenance. You're talking about being down and mean and ornery. I'm talking about getting things right with God. And if we're not careful, church, hey, we'll think, well, I can get some. There's no other way. And people don't like this. They like church. They like the good part. Sometimes they like, for example, the Christian school or some ministry that they're doing. But they don't like the fact of what we're teaching. We're teaching about Jesus. This is not just a building. It's not just a ministry. This is about Jesus Christ. And if you miss that, you've missed it all. There's nothing that I can do. I go visit Brother Joe Connor the other night, 12:30 at night. His mama's sitting in there, and it already went on to glory. Put my arm around him as his friend. Sure. Brother Joe looked at me and said, Brother Dallas, will you pray for us? And I prayed to God. There's nothing I could offer. There's nothing in this building. There's nothing. There's no money to fix that. There's no eloquence of words. I can't say, well, you know, I've read this. No, the only thing we can do is go to the throne of God and thank God for his blood that covers all sin. That's the only way you're going to get right. Number four, real quickly. Don't let the distractions cause you to lose focus. Well, I've done this. Church, I'll be honest with you. As your pastor, I've done it. If we're not careful, he'll have you looking to the left and to the right. You remember, God told Joshua not to look to the left and to the right, but to meditate on his word day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's not talking about success in your bank account. That's not talking about success in your self-help and what about me, what about me, what about me. That's talking about living for God. You'll never be happy living for you, friend. It's just not going to happen. You live for yourself, you'll never be satisfied. And by the way, you'll never satisfy God. And then the last thing, don't believe the lies of the world, of the flesh, and of the devil. Did you know the devil's a liar? He'll lie to you and say, oh, that's what all those preachers say. No doubt when I heard about another preacher this week that he went on visitation and tried to talk to somebody about their soul. And he said, I'm all right. About 2 weeks later, he got real sick and they really dismissed and made fun of this preacher. And the wife called and said, preacher, would you come? And he said, you're all right. Oh, no, my husband's dying. He went on over there and he said, preacher, will you talk to him about the things of the Lord? And he said, no. He said, a few weeks ago, he said, you hauntingly said, you're all right. He said, but I wasn't dying then. So all of a sudden when he was dying, he got serious, didn't he? Start thinking about standing before God and get serious. See, listen, church, and I'm not trying to be mean or cruel this morning. I don't want us just to be fluff. I don't want to go through the motions and come to church and y'all pat me on the back and say, boy, he's a good, nice little preacher down there. He might be a little chubby, but we love him. I don't need more. We love the Payton family. I mean, I appreciate all this. It's so good to me. I love you. But I've realized we're going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account. There's been many times it would have been a lot easier for me to just shut my mouth and say, well, Lord, I'm going to let it go. I'll lose two families. I'll lose five people. I'll make somebody mad. I'll just let it go. But then I thought, God, I've got to stand before you. And as much as I failed you, if I know better than God, I'm going to do my best to stand for right and truth. And church, if we're not careful, we'll believe the lies of the devil. He'll lie to you. He'll say, oh, man, it don't matter. That's what they told that woman. They told him, he said, oh, I'm all right. He said, you hauntingly said, I'm all right. Now you think about death. You're not all right. We believe the lies sometimes of the flesh. You know, how many of y'all know this? But you know you can lie to yourself. I still think I'm going to be a fighter pilot. In my dreams, right? I lie to myself. I've seen young men and young women think they're going to go to the pros. I think, honey, you need to grow about 2 foot and put on about 150 pounds. Don't get mad at me. I thought, man, I'm going to be an astronaut until I said, man, I can't hardly get my multiplication tables in my brain. Y'all looking awful peaked there. What's your dream? Hey, if we're not careful, we'll lie to ourselves. Do you know those people that they really think, you said, but I said, are you really serious about that? There's a man don't live far from here, still believes that when you die, you go to the next planet. Now they say, well, he's pulling your leg. He might be, but he sure has been pulling it a long time because every time I talk to him, he tells me. I thought, my goodness, lie to ourselves. Some of our leading institutions of knowledge in America and in the world will teach them and show their young people absolute contrary to the Word of God. In fact, will make fun and laugh and scoff at this book right here that you and I hold in our hand. We got political candidates that run. If they even say God, everybody make fun of them. They'll call you a bigot if you believe the Bible. Amen. Don't believe the lies of the devil, the lies of even your own flesh or the world. Because they'll have you not think about judgment. They'll have you not think about judgment. They don't want you to think about that. The devil don't want you to think. There's three things the devil don't want you to think about. That's sin, death, and judgment. He don't want you to think about that. Because if you start thinking about that, guess what God will start doing? He'll work on your heart. You say, man, I got to stand before the Lord someday. You're not going to stand before Brother Dallas. He's going to be in the same boat you are. But I sure thank God. I look at this and I say, Lord, man, we don't have any hope. Lord, you can't read a book and get this right. Lord, there's no self-help guru out there. There's no YouTube video you can watch. There's no Facebook post you can repost. We're going to get you through. Well, how are we going to get out of this thing? I'm going to tell you how. The one that entered into the holies of holies of heaven and shed his perfect blood. And his blood was a sacrifice for us. The Bible says he's a propitiation, the satisfaction. When you and I stand before the Lord, we don't stand because we're good people. I don't go and say, well, brother, you're just so perfect. That's far from the truth. In fact, I'm the opposite of that. I might be the most sinful guy in here. But I can stand because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Simply to the cross I cling. Simply to the blood of Jesus Christ do I put my faith and trust that his blood covers my sin. And the only way you and I, when it comes to judgment day, and by the way, when they look around the world and boy, they thumb their nose at God. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is what? All of a sudden that one that hates God, that one that thumbs its nose at God, that one that acts like he just lives however he wants to live. Remember the terror of God. I think sometimes we forget about the old-fashioned fear of God. By the way, I'll tell you a little story. Just how powerful God is. Middle of the night last night, we've been having some things going around our house, and so I've got a spotlight that can shoot 5,000 feet or something, I don't know. And our dog starts barking. I said, oh, Lord, here we go again. Middle of the night, I'm out here in my pajamas, and I'm a pretty sight in pajamas. You can just see me out there, I got my flip-floppers on. Got my glasses down like this, because I ain't got my contacts in. My hair's sticking straight up, and I have a lot more hair than you think of. And I'm being. I'm sitting there thinking, oh man, here it goes. I'm tired of this. And underneath the church van, me and Austin had to bring his car this morning because underneath the church van, God created a little animal, cute as they can be, black, fluffy, but he put a white stripe right down the middle of it. Now, I looked at that thing and I said, oh, it's just a little skunky. Until I got outside and got in that van this morning. My eyes, in fact, if y'all smell something, it's probably me. My eyes started watering. I was like, oh, I start tasting. How many of y'all want to talk about it? Austin's backing up. He said, but that's what I mean. Think about the Lord this morning. It's kind of cute when you think about a skunk. But God said, watch what I'll do. I'll make the cutest little animal in the world, and I'll put something in him that no animal, no human can tolerate. Just a small, it's just like, what's this? Bing. Then I think about tidal waves and storms and hurricanes and avalanches and death and destruction, the destruction of this world. I think about Noah. When the waters came, the Bible says waters came down from above, but they also came from the bottom and went up. We think about Sodom and Gomorrah, and they make fun of it, and God destroyed it with fire and brimstone. And all of a sudden, I look at that little skunk, I think, well, if God can take something that cute and make something that powerful, what can God not do? And I think sometimes we forget the terror of God. We forget how powerful and holy and righteous he is. And we sin against a holy God and we forget sometimes just how holy and righteous he really is. May the terror of God fill our hearts today. Let's all stand with every head bowed and our eyes closed. Dear Heavenly Father, I tried to preach the message. I thank you for our people.